You're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at wicn.org. Good evening, I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. What would it be like to have a parent, specifically your mother, go off to war when you're only 7 years old, only to find that many years later you yourself join the military and take part in an overseas operation? Well, that's what we'll be talking about this evening. My guest is author and military vet Lauren K. Johnson. Her new book is The Fine Art of Camouflage, and we'll be talking about with Lauren about the memoir and the emotions, the feelings, and everything that she put forth between the pages of the Fine Art of Camouflage, and getting a real close up look at the emotions that go through someone, and a difficult time, and probably also a joyous time. So it can be the best of both worlds. So for the next half hour, we will be talking with Lauren. Lauren, nice to have you with us.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Not unusual for someone to have a parent, whether it's dad or mom, aunt, uncle, whatever it may be, go off to war. I have friends and family. I'm sure you obviously do. We all know somebody. But 7 years old, everybody will say, gee, that must have been traumatic. Lauren must have missed her mom dearly. I mean, you want to wake up in the morning and there's mom getting your lunch ready for school, helping you with homework, blah, 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 blah. You obviously dealt with that. But more interesting, you followed in those similar footsteps. But let's take a step back and start from the beginning. What was the motivation for writing the book in the first place?
Well, it didn't start necessarily as a book. It started as me right when I returned from Afghanistan. So I served, as you mentioned, ended up going into the military myself and ultimately deployed to Afghanistan in 2009, 2010. And it was an experience that kind of rocked my world in a lot of ways. I got back and just felt very unsettled and had trouble processing what I'd been through. And the way I've always processed experiences is by writing. I've always fashioned myself a writer. I wrote really terrible poetry as a teenager, as many do. And so writing is just the way that I, kind of purge things and then sort through them and make them tangible. And so my early attempts at working through my experience in Afghanistan were through writing. And that was the initial impetus behind starting to write about my experience. It took many years for it to start to form itself into something resembling a book. And I had a lot of assistance along the way, got my master's of fine arts at Emerson College in Boston. And that was really helpful in kind of, moving beyond the, me of what ultimately became my memoir and zooming out on my experiences and finding those elements of humanity that other people can connect to as well. Because most people don't want to read a book that's just all about me and, purging right. Lauren's guts. That wouldn't be very engaging.
I was just going to say, it would be easy just to, sit down and say, okay, I went to this elementary school, then I moved on to middle school, my first boyfriend or my first girlfriend, so-and-so. You're right, that seems to be very repetitious and, just focusing on you. I get the impression that joining the military first and foremost was the starting point, then being deployed to Afghanistan, overseas, to the Middle East. That really was a most eye-opening experience for you, was it not?
Absolutely. Yeah, I went into that experience with a very rosy view of what it meant to be in the military and what it meant to be a soldier at war. And a lot of that was shaped from my mom's experience. My mom was a reservist who deployed in the first Gulf War back in 1990-1991 as part of Operation Desert Shield, Desert Storm. And that conflict in hindsight, certainly at the time there was a lot of uncertainty and terror surrounding it. But in hindsight, it was a very brief engagement and, you know, considered a success widely. And everyone who came home, my mom included, was heralded as a hero. And there was this huge wave of patriotism all around the country during that time. So that plus, you know, media portrayals of the military, plus what I experienced when I was in the military before I deployed, all kind of reinforced this view that, you know, to be someone going to war is to be heroic and noble and you know, fighting for something greater than yourself. I was on a mission that, you know, really kind of played on those ideals. I was not a combat soldier. I was, for the most part, a bureaucrat. I served on a provincial reconstruction team, which is an acronym, PRT, because everything in the military must be an acronym. but essentially, our mission was to, we were assigned to one of Afghanistan's provinces, a tiny little southeastern province called Paktia. And we were charged with mentoring government officials and local leaders in the tribes and religious institutions and working to establish more legitimate forms of governance and access to basic services and rule of law. So essentially not winning the war by killing the bad guys, but by, you know, eroding their support and building support for other systems.
Nonetheless, nothing to downplay. I mean, you still put yourself, as they say, in the line of fire. I mean, maybe bombs weren't falling down around you, but you were in a foreign land, not knowing one day to the other whether there would be an attack or a fallout. But let me go back to something, which I'm curious about. Mom was deployed, as you said earlier, when you were very young. Is there a line of military service within your family?
There is, yeah. We have the family business, so to speak. Both of my grandfathers served as well, and one of my grandfather's brothers was killed in World War II. That same grandfather's other brother was seriously wounded. So definitely a tradition of service, and I did grow up with that, you know, kind of percolating, I'd say, under the surface, but also not so under the surface. You know, it came up frequently. There was this kind of feeling of just pride and a lot of patriotism in our family.
Yeah, it sounds it. When your mom came home, one, I'm sure you were glad to see her, and I'm sure the reuniting was not only emotional but certainly welcoming. But did you? I'm not so sure that a mom would turn to a 7-year-old and say, "Now I want you to sit you down and I want to talk to you about what I experienced." I'm just thinking, you know, something had to inspire you. So were you the inquisitive one? Did you go to her and say, "Hey, Mom, what was it like? I mean, you know, you were away for, you know, this period of time. You know, what did you do? What was happening over there? Was her time spent overseas in the military somewhat of a catalyst for you?"
That's a great question. And honestly, that's something that I asked myself a lot, particularly when I got to Afghanistan and all of these expectations that I had clashed very harshly with reality and just, you know, it kind of clobbered me over the head that, you know, things aren't black and white. It's not that simple. And I started thinking, you know, why did I end up coming here? I volunteered to deploy. You know, it was my choice to sign on the dotted line and join the military. And I was traumatized when my mom left. You know, I mean, what 7-year-old wouldn't be?
Right.
And deployments were not predictable back then. Her orders were for up to 2 years, which I didn't know at the time, but I didn't know when she was coming home either. And, you know, we watched the news every night and they talked about people dying, and it was a very, you know, real kind of looming possibility for us.
Yeah.
So why, with all of that, you know, I cried every night when I went to bed because mom wasn't there to tuck me in. Why did I end up following in her footsteps? Mm-hmm. And we actually, I don't know that it was as like specific as sitting down and having a direct conversation about it, but we kind of made a family pact that no one else would join the military after that point, because mm-hmm. the experience of my mom going had been so trying for our whole family. Yeah. You know, I mean, it was really a family effort. My grandparents spent a lot of time watching us. My dad was thrust into single parenthood and working full time. We had neighbors and our school community really rallied around us. So everyone was involved and everyone was impacted by it. So yeah, why did I end up putting myself in that position and putting my family in that position? And that's a large part of why I ended up writing the book. It was just trying to figure that out. And, you know, not to spoil it, I promise that hopefully the book is still engaging to read knowing this, but, you know, that my mom's service certainly was a catalyst for me in a way. And it really was a combination of factors and ended up kind of converging for me when I was a senior in high school, fall of 2001. And 9/11. And this also not to say that, you know, 9/11 happened and the next day I went out and signed a military contract. So it was more of a, you know, gradual building. But that swell of patriotism that happened during Desert Storm, it was a very similar feeling after 9/11.
Yeah.
And I specifically remember driving back from school that afternoon and turning on the radio and, you know, listening to the same news reports over and over and over again. Nothing new. People were lining the streets and waving American flags and held signs that said, honk if you love America. And I just found myself honking. Like, it was this subconscious reaction. I felt that swell of emotion. And then the song God Bless the USA by Lee Greenwood came on the radio, which had been... It came out during Desert Storm and had been an anthem for my mom. And I just was hit with such an overwhelm of emotion. Like, I almost swerved off the road. It was just so powerful. And I really kind of come back to that moment as something inside me just awakening. Like, I felt like, you know, I want to do this thing that my family members have done and contribute in a meaningful way like that.
And the term, as you used, I couldn't think of a more appropriate way of saying it, the patriotism. We hadn't seen that. Myself growing up, the Vietnam War, I mean, to this day, as you know, there are veterans who came back from Vietnam feeling very bitter because there was such a divide in this country and globally regarding the emotions of, you know, what were we doing there and whatnot. I mean, World War II, a little bit different. Most GIs came home as heroes. So you saw this now, all of a sudden, this resurgence of patriotism. And I got to believe that was, had to be certainly a big motivating factor for you. I just want to take a quick pause to remind listeners that you're tuned to 90.5 WICN, Jazz Plus for New England. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Listen online at WICN.org. I'm Al Voner, and this is The Public Eye. My guest this week is author and military veteran Lauren K. Johnson. Her new book is The Fine Art of Camouflage, and a really unique a memoir, if you will. Lauren's mom, when she was 7, was deployed to the Middle East, and as Lauren has been talking this evening, she herself later on found through a combination of factors, most importantly patriotism, gave her the motivation to herself be deployed in the military and somewhat following in her mom's footsteps. Lauren, the other thing I got to think about is that you came back, obviously a different person. You're looking at a different culture, a different way of life, how it might have been portrayed by, you know, the mass media across the globe was one thing, but to live it, to be on the front lines, to see here, and even though you weren't on the front line, I'm talking about, you know, brandishing a rifle, you still were in a war zone, and you still had to deal with the emotions and the feelings, the fear, and everything that those people were going through. Did that help you in writing the book. I mean, you can't just, as you said earlier, coming back from a foreign country, especially one embroiled in war, I mean, you can't help but have deep-rooted feelings one way or the other. So was the experience also part and parcel for putting all of this between the pages of the book? Did it help you to see things more clearly?
Did the writing of it help me
see
things more clearly?
Yeah, because you saw things that none of us would ever see. Even the media wouldn't be able to see the things you... You were there 24/7, feet on the ground, good, bad, whatever it might have been. You saw misery, you saw happiness, you saw so many things that none of us could ever experience outside of what we might have read in the newspapers or saw in a brief 3 or 4 minute blurb online. So I got to think that when you came back, maybe an more appreciation for this country and the way of life that we have, more empathy for people in other parts of the world, where all those things that you talked about being boiled up, the book obviously had to be a big factor in letting it all out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think of this, it's a military story, mine is, but it's also really a coming-of-age story that... This experience, I mean, perhaps is a little belated of a coming of age, and I can, categorize my whole military career beginning from ROTC and college and kind of being indoctrinated to a degree in that experience. But when it all really came to a head was Afghanistan when I was 25 years old. And, I mean, there were, practical ways in which I was coming of age. It was the first time I ever made a pot of coffee was in Afghanistan. But also just that, the ideology and coming face to face with the fact that things are really complicated. Life is not black and white. And I had kind of operated with that mentality, at least with regard to the military and, America's mission overseas. So it did, give me a lot of clarity. I right away it was more confusion, trying to figure out how I felt about this new lens that I had to view the world through. But ultimately in writing about it, I mean, it was an experience in growing up and, getting an appreciation for, how things are versus how I've been led to believe or decided to believe they are.
Yeah, I mean that's the I think most people we can be naysayers or we can be joyous. I mean we have all those emotions, but we take for granted the how we live here versus other parts of the world and what other people are going through. Nobody can really understand the way you did because you were there. But more importantly, how were the Afghan people? I mean, were they friendly toward you? I mean, did you find them engaging? Were they welcoming? Or did they view the U.S. And folks like yourself with suspicion?
It was highly variable. And, I will caveat this with my experience was limited to a specific region during a specific time, which was actually a very interesting time to be there. 2009, 2010 was the troop surge. President Obama was newly in office and came out with the new Afghanistan strategy. There was an increase in drone strikes in Pakistan, which pushed a lot of the fighting back across the border into Pakistan and provinces along the border like the one I was in. So it was a really dynamic time in the war, and there was a lot of shifting of, strategies and just a very dynamic time. I lost my train of thought.
Well, I guess as you look back now, I mean, can you actually say, in spite of the tumultuous, experience that was going on, as you said, some people liked having us there. Other people probably felt, what are you people doing here? Why don't you mind your own business? But at the end of the day, I'm sure you took away, both positive and obviously some negative emotions. But if you look back on the whole experience, I'm assuming you made some friends, some people that, you know, meant something even in that short interval that you were there, and left a lasting impression on you.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that reminder of where I was going with my answer. yes, the reception from the Afghan people was highly variable.
Yeah.
And most of those that I interacted with were men, and specifically men in positions of power. So they tended to view my unit, which was focused on, as the slogan goes, nation building, winning hearts and minds. And one way we did that was by providing money to build up infrastructure. So by the time I was there, 2009, 2010, different iterations of folks had been doing this for a number of years. And there was this sense from some of the Afghans that, these people bring us money, so let's ask them to build things for us. And not necessarily things that had, strategic implications in the greater war effort, but things like,
built
a guest house for the governor.
Or built a swimming pool or a jacuzzi.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
There was, it was certainly that type of interaction where it was just colored very much by, what we want out of this relationship.
Yeah.
And for me as a woman, that was really where my gender was most came into play, not so much with my own teammates, and that for a lot of reasons, I'm very grateful that I was just kind of a soldier, and gender didn't come into play a lot there. But with the Afghans, being a woman in an area that was very conservative, women in Paktia still wore burqas. There was a lot of gender segregation. We were there for a presidential election in Afghanistan, and the women they could vote, but not without a male escort.
Mm.
So it was still a very, very separated society.
Yeah.
And as a woman, men would regard me very differently. Some would, get really excited to see me, like, "Oh, you're a woman, and you're with these men here doing cool things, giving us money." And then some would, just completely ignore me and like go to the soldier next to me to shake his hand.
Yeah.
And some would kind of, you could see them kind of hemming and hawing, like, "Oh, I should probably be polite because, you might give me money." So,
yeah. But otherwise, otherwise you wouldn't have been, they wouldn't have given you the right time of day.
Yeah. So that was kind of how things worked with the men, more or less. Of course, there were exceptions. There were a couple advisors who we worked with closely who I just were wonderfully endearing people. This government liaison, we were dining at the governor's guest house once, and I tried some grapes that were just like the best grapes I've ever eaten. Mm-hmm. And this government liaison saw how much I enjoyed the grapes and was just, really proud that something grown in his country was so meaningful to me.
Yeah.
And so he brought me some on the base and, wanted me to share them with my fellow soldiers. So there were certainly moments like that, too,
yeah,
where there was just, just genuine human connection.
Yeah. And I think sometimes that gets hidden away, especially when there's a, when the overwhelming theme is war. Most
absolutely,
people.
Yeah. And, that overarching political force can be such a strong dictator of how those relationships go. We had a goal for every single mission, and we came in with talking points. And, part of my job as the information operations officer was to tell people what those talking points are,
right,
and to, make sure we're getting what we want out of these interactions. So, yeah, everyone goes in with an agenda. It's hard to have genuine human-to-human conversations when you have that environment.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's wartime. You're in a foreign country. You've got so much time to accomplish a particular mission. And I think that's probably the hard part for folks like yourself, is that you would have liked to have been able to kind of, drop the professionalism for a moment and just have a one-on-one and a real personal conversation, or how do you live? Can I meet your family and so on and so forth? But nonetheless, we've only got a few moments, but I got to say that the book You've wrapped all of that. That comes through very strongly, the emotions. I mean, this isn't a military manual, ladies and gentlemen. This is really, and I think Lauren would certainly agree 100% that this was just pouring out the emotions that she had within and putting it between the pages of a book. And you know, that's in itself. And you know, going back and forth, you know, your family, how your mom went there first. I mean, all of this came in to play between the pages of the book, which brings me to the point that the book is widely available, The Fine Art of Camouflage. Now, I know that you're in the Pacific Northwest. That's where you're residing. But you are coming east, right? You're coming this way for an engagement.
I am, yes. I will be in Boston on Thursday, April 13th at Porter Square Books, the Boston location in the Seaport, in conversation with Joanna Rakoff, which I'm really excited about. So, hope folks will come out and join us.
You know, I've been by that. By the bookstore when I've been down in Boston, but I have seen broadcasts, and it's really a nice environment. You know, it's not packing 10,000 people in an auditorium. It's very personalized. People get to ask questions, but more importantly, it's you, you know, relating to them, you know, your personal emotions and the feelings and everything. So I think that's going to be a really terrific. That's an evening, by the way. That's an evening, you said, right?
Yeah, 7 p.m.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I'm sure people will, both from Central Mass and all regions in New England, would take advantage of that. As we wind this all down, though, I always find that many of our listeners like to just either reach out or just find out more about you. They'll say, oh, geez, you know, you had that woman that went to Afghanistan. You know, what else does she do? I mean, what motivated her to do all of this? And, you know, might I be able to reach out to her? So with that said, how might people, you know, follow up or reach out to you directly?
Yeah, absolutely. I welcome folks to poke around my website, laurenkjohnson.com, and K is spelled out K-A-Y. And there's a contact button on there where you can reach out to me. I do have some other events posted there as well. I have one virtual event coming up in June. So if folks, I have really come to appreciate virtual events over the last couple years with the pandemic and having twins. So being able to just teleport in is a great option. Would love to see folks there as well.
Lauren, it sounds like you haven't had a whole lot of downtime between being in the military, going overseas, coming back, obviously, you know, reestablishing yourself with family, getting married, having twins, writing a book, speaking engagements. So it sounds like there's been very little downtime. But I think you thrive on that. So it certainly comes through in speaking with you this evening. But again, the book is The Fine Art of Camouflage. My guest has been Lauren K. Johnson, the author. And Lauren, one more time, that date and location when you'll be here on the East Coast?
Yes, it's Thursday, April 13th at 7 p.m. at Porter Square Books in Boston, Seaport.
There you go. She will be there in person, and hopefully many of you will turn out to hear Lauren talk. Any questions about the broadcast, you can certainly give us a call here at the studios at WICN. Our main number is 508-752-0700. You can pose any comments, questions, or feedback to me directly. I certainly welcome that. That's Al Vona, V-U-O-N-A, at WICN.org. For the Public Eye, this is Al Vona. Thank you so much for tuning in.